has joined.
Thank you.
has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Is it just you?
No, you have small cookies.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and mute it.
L'shem Yehud Kud Shabri Hu Ishkinte, Bit Hilu Urchimu, Uthilu, Uthilu Urchimu, Leakta, L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe, Be Yehuda, Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah.
Has joined.
By Hino Amadunai Lohino Elena Maseya Denu Kurene, Elena Maseya Denu Kurenehu. Well, I had it open, and it's closed, so it'll take a minute to open it up again.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Our study is for Psalm 95, and unfortunately I have to open it again because it closed on me. So I start with the unique astrological times. And I scroll down to the Ta'anit Dibur section. And I open up the Psalms landing page that runs from Psalm 89 to 96. I scroll down to Psalm 95. And I open up both the Machon Mamre Psalms. And scroll down to Psalm 95. Now you understand why I had it open, and I don't know why it closed, but I'm been having that problem on my computer quite frequently. I go to a window and it closes on me. And we go to open up Rabbi Sutton's translation as well. And I will need to scroll down to Psalm 95 there as for the last thing that I do before we're ready to go. Okay. We've already done the L'Shem Yehud, so we will start. Psalm 95 begins. The psalm speaks of the future when man will say to his fellow, "Come, let us sing and offer praise to Hashem for the miracles he has performed for us." This is a kavanah that is generally used. There'll be other kavanot as we go through the discussion of the verses. This psalm is sung as part of the Kabbalat Shabbat service every Friday night in the Orthodox tradition. The first word is Lechu Neranana, and I refer you back to the Yearning for Redemption introduction. I'm sure you've read it, but it is always worth rereading. It's got so much information. There are 11 verses in this psalm, and we know the number 11 is a number that connects to the ketoret, the incense offering. It is also connecting to all the vessel energy of the 10 sephirot, plus the negative system. And we know the ketoret is a tool to bring us closer to Hashem. In Rabbi Sutton's translation, he has some information. He has some commentary. Every once in a while, he has that with some of his psalms. And this is one of them. And it begins with, "As the week comes to an end, we are asked to look back and retrace our steps. On the one hand, the six preceding days have seen us involved in a struggle to maintain and enhance our material livelihood. Just as our three-dimensional physical reality is made up of six directions, north and south, east and west, and up and down, all leading away from a center point, so that the 6 days of the week represent our attempts to reach outside of ourselves and affect change in the world around us. The Shabbat, on the other hand, is the center axis or the focal point of the 6 days of the week. It is the goal towards which all our activities lead us. It is on Shabbat that we can concentrate on enhancing our inner lives. On enhancing our inner life and our connection to Hashem, the ground of our being. It is on Shabbat that we acknowledge Hashem's ultimate authority and uninterrupted providence over all his creations. We place ourselves and the products of our labor into his service in order to prepare to enter the inner world of the Shabbat. Therefore, we sing six psalms from 95 to 99. And then Psalm 29, one for each of the preceding 6 days, to elevate all of our outward endeavors into the holiness of Shabbat. The first one we sing is 95. Let us go forth from sadness and constriction and sing joyously to Hashem, the Infinite One. Let us arouse ourselves to thank the rock of our salvation, the ground of our existence. Let's look at what the translation of the Machon Mamre is. Oh, come, let us sing unto Hashem. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. There are six words. We know that's connecting to Zeranpin. And it's 27 letters, which connects to the 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, including the final letters. Mikad mafana betoda bizmi rod nari alo. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout for joy unto him with psalms. Rabbi Sutton's translation. Let us come before him with thanks for the special providence with which he has led us from the very beginning. Let us arouse ourselves to praise him with chants that cut through all mental and emotional barriers. Again, we have six words. And 26 letters. You know what 26 connects to Hashem. The third verse. Asher biyado mech. He holds the secrets of physical matter in his hand. The summits of man's mountain peaks are also his. The Machon Mamre translation. For Hashem, he is a great God and a great king above all gods. You see, there's a significant difference in the translations. There are nine words in verse 3. And 29 letters, which connects to the month of Av, to the two letters that create the month of Av, the Kaf and the Tet. Verse 4. Asher biyado mechkerei aretz v'toafot harim lo. In whose hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also. He holds the secrets of physical matter in his hand. The summits of man's mountain peaks are also his. Did I misread the 3 and 4 for the English translation from Rabbi Sutton's translation? Obviously, I did.
Yeah, you did. Yes, sir, you did.
Oh. Okay, well, Please forgive me. There are seven words in verse 4. No, in verse 5. I'm confused. Let's go. Let's start. In verse 4, there are seven words. And 28 letters, 28 connects to the word koach, which means power or strength. You can see how all of these praises, these verses are praising Hashem. They're all, we're bringing the excitement of looking forward to the joy of Shabbat. The fifth verse, I'm on the Machon, Yearning for Redemption PDF. Asher lo hayam wehu asahu v'yabeshet yadav yakaru. The sea is his. He made it gather together so that he could fashion the dry land like clay with his hands. Rabbi Sutton has added the words like clay, which clearly are not in the verse, and clearly I don't think need to be added. But for whatever the reason that he has done so, it adds to it, it doesn't detract from the English translation. But let's look at what Machon Mamre does. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. We need to have a discussion about the word formed. It's forming something is not creating it. Once something is created, it can then be changed. The form of it, the outer body of it can be changed. Can the inner essence of it, of that thing be changed? That's something that you need to contemplate. But we always have to be very careful, because in English, forming something and creating something tends to be interchangeable uses of words. And people make a lot of mistakes, because in Hebrew, they're very clearly different. Forming is the word yetzirah, as in olam yetzirah, and creating is olam briyah. This is the difference between zeranpin and bina and olam briyah. Verse 6. And there are 32 letters connecting to the 32 gate paths of wisdom that connects to Chachma, to wisdom. The Yearning for Redemption translation, verse 6. Come, therefore, let us prostrate ourselves and bow down. Let us acknowledge and kneel before Hashem, the infinite power who made us. Both translations tend to be similar. It's describing a form of worship where you kneel down, you prostrate yourself, and you recognize that Hashem is the creator. The seventh verse. Ki hu Eloheinu wa anachnu amarito witzon yado ayomim bekolo tishmau. For he is our God, and we are the people, he shepherds. We are the flock he guides with his hand. O Israel, he is ready to reveal his hand in your life, even today. If only you heed his call and return to him wholeheartedly. The Mechon Mamre on verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the flock of his hand. Today, if you would but hearken to his voice. In the Yearning for Redemption translation, he uses, if you're willing to return to Hashem, his hand is open. But there's no word in the Hebrew that says teshuvah. It's not talking about returning. It's talking about what the Mechon Mamre literal translation is, if you will hearken to his voice. If you would just listen to him, then he is open. He'll receive you with open hands. This is the essence of the translation and the essence of the Hebrew. And there are 12 words connecting to the 12 tribes of Israel. And 47 letters. I'm not sure the number 47. It's not a number that we get regularly, so we'll leave that alone. The eighth verse. Al takshu levavchem kimri vakeyom asa bamidbar. Harden not your heart as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa, in the wilderness. We're going to have a rather lengthy footnote in the Mechon Mamre. The translation in the Yearning for Redemption. Hashem says, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah on the day of Massa in the desert. The footnote is 115, which is on this page at the bottom. We're almost there. After crossing the Yam Suf, Moshe led the people through the desert wilderness. Each stop along the way was designed to prepare the nation to receive the Torah and enter the land of Israel. The last stop before Mount Sinai was Rephidim. Here the people began to complain that they would die of thirst if they were not given some water to drink. The request for water was completely justified. Hashem therefore told Moses to strike a rock from which water gushed forth for the entire nation and their livestock. However, the way they asked for the water revealed something deeper that was bothering them. The people began to quarrel with Moshe. "Give us water to drink," they exclaimed. "Why are you quarreling with me?" Moshe asked. "Aren't you really testing Hashem?" But the people were thirsty for water, so they began remonstrating against Moshe. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Do you want to make us, our children and our livestock, die of thirst?" On one level, their quarrelsomeness showed that even after experiencing constant miracles in Egypt and at the Red Sea, the Yam Suf, they still did not believe or trust in Hashem to continue to sustain them. They were constantly in doubt, fearing that he would judge them according to their actions and that they would not be found worthy. It is for this reason that Moshe accused them of trying Hashem and testing his patience. He even renamed the spot Namasa Uv Meriva, testing and argument, because the people had argued and tested Hashem, asking, "Is Hashem among us or not?" Immediately after this, the Torah relates that Amalek arrived and attacked Israel in Rephidim. As the sages point out, the word Rephidim can also be read Phrath Yadayim, lacks hands, alluding to Israel's slackening in the learning of Torah, the inability to distinguish truth from falsehood, which opens the door to doubting Hashem, his existence, his miracles, his providence. In a sense, this was a return of the Garden of Eden story in which Chava had fallen prey to the serpent's cunning and began to doubt Hashem. Amalek, like the ancient serpent, injects a kind of poison into a person, which clouds the mind and makes it incapable of seeing truth clearly. This is alluded to in the Gematria of Amalek, which is 240, the same as doubt, Safek. Cause of their punishment. True punishment always fits the crime. There's a lot to contemplate in this writing by Rabbi Sutton. On one level, the people are crying out for water, physical water. On another level, they're crying out for Torah, but you never know that you need Torah. I had a discussion with a student today. His parnasah issues are becoming very difficult, and he runs into physical problems and feeling ill and getting ill because of his parnasah issues. And I said to him, he said to me, "I'm thinking of donating my Tanakh to a particular synagogue because I'm planning to leave the country because it's less expensive to live in this other country he wants to go to." And he has a woman that he might like, but he really doesn't know her well. So this was his statement to me. He was going to donate his Tanakh. And I said, you never donate a Tanakh. You read it. And he says, I can't read it. My eyesight's limited. I said, so you scan it. He did that, and then he called me back, and he said, the whole world changed because I scanned the Tanakh. The Torah is about energy, and every word we read is about energy. And when we realize that and stop doubting, stop falling into those doubts of Amalek, which is a constant battle, this is the tool that we have. I'm going to look at verse 9 on the Machon Mamre now. And I will just make one other comment. The energy this week is about doubt. Is it coincidence that we are studying a psalm that brings in the concepts of doubt? Is it coincidence that my student was talking about running away from Hashem, which is the effect of donating a Tanakh? It's all part of the issue. During Shabbat, the discussion was in our synagogue was about the idea of the Mishkan being built, which is it was Parashat Truma, and there was a comment was made about history, and we discussed history this morning. That is where Hashem hides. It's one of his concealment tools. And we also discussed, I'm trying to remember the exact words, but I won't be successful. But it was, the comment was about the parasha and the Mishkan, and whether the Mishkan was built before or after, not built exactly, but the potential concept of the Mishkan. Was it in Hashem's mind to have a Mishkan in the desert before or after the building of the golden calf? Was it truly a tool to minimize and to be forgiving of the children of Israel because they built the golden calf? Or did he always have in mind that potential to build the Mishkan? Clearly, he always planned to build a temple. But did he plan to build a Mishkan in the desert? Or was it only as the effect of his forgiveness of the golden calf? It's all related to doubts and history and the concealment of Hashem. Verse 9, I'm on the Machon Mamre. Asher nisuni avotechem v'chanuni gam ra'u fanafali. When your fathers tried me, proved me, even though they saw my work. Verse 9 on the yearning for redemption. It was then that your ancestors tried me, my patience. Rabbi Sutton is adding patience rather than just the general tried me. Though they had seen my miraculous deeds, they tested me to see whether I would continue to carry them even when they are not worthy. Rabbi Sutton's translation is more expansive. It's more clear. It's putting it right to the essence, whereas the literal translation in the Machon Mamre leaves much to be evaluated and considered. The 10th verse. Arbaim shana akut gedor wam omar am to elevav em wehem lo yadu derakai. As a result, I was displeased with that generation and extended their stay in the desert 40 years. I understood that the contradictory pulls of the heart of the nation had misled them. After all I had done for them, they were still unable to recognize my ways. Do you think that verse applies to our generation? The Machon Mamre translation of verse 10. For 40 years was I wearied with that generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. It's a very different translation. Which one would you think is correct? Which one is really giving the essence? We don't speak Hebrew, so we really don't know, but we can learn a lot from the counting of words and letters. There are 13 words, which connects us to Echad, unity. That unity is a unity with Hashem and the children of Israel. That unity is the idea that Hashem is really speaking of the forgiveness. He's saying they're acting wrong, but they're children. So I understand they're acting wrong. I'm not blaming them for acting wrong. I'm still connected to them. I'm always going to support them, meaning you and me. There are 44 letters, which connects to the word dam, which means blood. But another way of understanding or translating the word dam, which seems to be absolutely absurd, is Dalet is a doorway and Mem is water. Dam, while it translates as blood, it's really a doorway to water, a doorway to the Torah. One of the paths of connecting to the Torah is that you must exert yourself to the level of pain. But that's a cleansing mechanism. It's not that the Hashem wants you to be in pain. He doesn't. But when you test him as grievously as what's been described, how do you make amends? Verse 11. Asher nishbati ba'api im yevon el menu. Wherefore I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. the swearing was not to enter into the land. But here it's saying they're not entering into my rest. The word for rest is menuchati. It's really a deep understanding. When you cleave to Hashem, you are at rest. This is what serenity is about. Let's look at what Rabbi Sutton translated the verse like. In my ire, I therefore decreed that they would not enter my rest place. And Rabbi Sutton is saying the rest place is Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, to build my mikdash until they were ready to trust in me and return to me wholeheartedly. But we have a footnote, number 116. Targum Yonathan, this is the translation of the five books of Moses. Sometimes it's even the whole Tanakh, but it's an Aramaic translation. Has La'ani Ach Bet Mikdashi, to rest in my holy temple. Rashi explains, my resting place is Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, which I have called Menuchati, my resting place, or my rest. For Hashem chose Zion and desired her as his habitation. Zot Menuchati Adead. This is soul, my resting place forever. Ho Eshev Ki Ivitha. Here I will dwell, for I have desired her. Rabbi Sutton is bringing a number of ideas connecting to various sages' writings about what it means to be a rest place. Seven words, unifying Zerantin with Malchut. Letters connecting to the word Koach, meaning strength or power. Hashem's resting spot. Hashem's rest is power, but people do not understand that power comes from being at rest. It's something that needs to be contemplated and then brought into your life. There's no reason to be reactive. There's no reason to get angry. There's no reason to do an action. The essence is to be at rest. And through being at rest, all things will work out. This is the energy of certainty on a different level. Does anybody have any questions? We're going to stop here, actually. No, we'll read the 11 verses in sequence next week, and then we'll read the rest of the commentary, because we have two complete commentaries, I believe, in this verse 95, Psalm 95. Does anybody have any questions? Shavuot Tov. Have a beautiful week. Remember, Purim is Thursday night and Friday morning. The reading of the Megillah. Come join us. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.